Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup podcast. This is a bonus episode. The recording has been taken from one of our in-person events, this one in Manchester. And the chap speaking is Dave Harland. If you don't know Dave, he is a very talented copywriter, a very entertaining copywriter as well. I'd highly recommend you go and check him out on LinkedIn. In this presentation, Dave talks about cold outreach. So we've all had those DMs and emails that make our eyes roll. And Dave breaks down why these sort of direct messages are wrong, but then how you can actually make them a lot better and create some outreach that that gets you some results. So it's a really entertaining talk, and I think you're gonna really like it. The event was sponsored by two brilliant people, Vita Living and the Go Network. So huge thanks to them for making the event happen. There was plenty of pizza and beer at the event, which is always good. One quick ask before we get going is, if you'd like the kind of content that you get on the Marketing Meetup podcast, there's loads more on YouTube. I'd encourage you to go and have a look there. Or you can join one of our webinars for free, or come along to one of our in-person events as well. There's so much free content that we're putting out there, and you know, the more you can share and follow along, the better it is. So yeah, enough of me waffling. I hope you enjoyed this episode. All right, take care, guys.
So tonight, I'm going to be talking about cold outreach, so cold emails, cold DMs in LinkedIn, that type of stuff. And I'm splitting it into three sections. So I'm going to do a dead quick intro at the start. Then we're going to be looking at one of the worst LinkedIn DMs that I've ever received and how you can make it a lot better. And finally, the worst cold email of all time, without doubt. And I'm going to show you how to improve on cold emails. So, the dead quick intro. Now, I know there's two questions you'll probably have. This is the first one, because no one's ever really met me here, apart from Max. So I want to do a dead quick intro. So let's take the clock back to rough artist impression. And not long after my mum and dad had that commissioned, I got mad into Scrabble, which is where I loved the words. Started reading all the cool stuff. Charlie in the Chocolate, still my favourite book ever. And then writing stuff as well. That was on my nan's toilet wall for about 15 years. It's a poem about dogs, and at the end, the dog gets put down. Psycho kid, what was I thinking? So that was 95. Then I thought, right, quite like this writing lot. I'm going to get into journalism. So I did work experience at my local paper. That wasn't one of my headlines, although quite like the alliteration. That's something I'd do now as a copywriter. Went to uni to do journalism when the tools kind of looked like that. So it was before, like nowadays, journalists just quote people on Twitter, don't they? That's all it is. So-and-so said what, you know, whatever on Twitter. But I learned the old school way. So not long after that, I got a job at a Christmas hamper company. Now, a few of my mates still think that I was the chief hamper tester at the hamper company, but I wasn't. I was the head of copy for about 10 years until it all came to a head when they asked me to write about the new staff toilets in the staff newsletter. Obviously, this was the beginning of the end for me, but if you ever get the opportunity to write about some toilets, it's your duty to have a little bit of fun with the headlines. So that's what I did. So we started with feeling flush. What do you reckon? Did that get accepted or rejected? Rejected. Oh, have we gone? Yeah, rejected. So option two. Oh, are we losing it? Far from bog standard. That was rejected too. What's happening here, mate? Slides have been rejected here. Okay, so, headline two, rejected. Headline three, rejected. Headline four, rejected. Headline five, rejected. You can see why. So then the board of directors took over and decided to write it themselves, and they came up with. So that was an immediate sign for me to do that. So I was out of there within like a year. I'd packed my bags, and I set up as a freelance copywriter with the most amateurish logo you've ever seen. I actually made that myself. And I've turned the O and the N upside down to try and be a little bit edgy, but didn't really work. I was only really working with one-man bands. But then I had a few opportunities to work with agencies, and my profile grew a little bit bigger, the bigger the brands. So I straightened up the Scrabble tiles, which then saw me get noticed by slightly bigger brands, household names. So then I got graphic designer involved then to do, a nicer one. And then that takes me to this year. I'm opening my own copywriting agency with a pal of mine called Copy or Die. And that means that I get to work with all of these big brands on the likes of tone of voice, brand positioning, and cold outreach for them, which is exactly what we're going to get into today. So that's about me. The second question is why? Why do we need to do this? Why good cold outreach? I think there's three reasons. Well, one, look around. We're in an economic downturn. I mean, my mortgage is like 400 quid more at the moment than it was a year ago. So if, you know, Barry Bullshit from Innovative IT Solutions gets in touch with a really dull message, I'm not even going to consider it. It's gone. So, yeah, it's a tough time at the moment. Reason two, hands up, who's using ChatGPT? Oh, we've got a few. I thought there'd be more. Yeah, everyone. As things become automated, the personality gradually seeps out. Might not look like it when you're typing those prompts in, but the personality just comes out of it. So, stuff's about to get robotic. And the third reason is, as I'm going to show you, most cold outreach is really, really horrendous. So I'm just going to show you some stats about how bad it is. This is the amount of cold stuff that I've received since 2020. It's well over 1,000 pieces there. And this is what I've acted on. One since 2020. And these are how they usually make me feel when I open them. Those feelings. And remember the title of the talk? This is what that leads me to do. So these are the types of things I'm ramming up my nostril. Because they're wasting me time with this horrendous stuff. Spear. I've never really had a spear on my desk. I don't know where that came from. So that said, we're going to have a look at a really soulless LinkedIn DM and how to make it way less horrible. Now, I've changed this guy's details so he doesn't receive death threats. So have a read of that one. Anybody get LinkedIn messages like that? Yeah. All the time. Happens all the time, doesn't it? So let's break down the badness line by line. Here we go. Dear Dave, in a DM, he's saying dear. It's like what you'd say in your letter to your kid's head teacher or your solicitor or someone. Straight away, needless filler. Thanks for connecting. Cut to the chase, mate. I haven't got time to be reading this. More waffle, talking about himself all the time. Tell a reader what's in it for them. Don't talk about yourself. Tell me what's in it for me. I hope you find the content useful. What content have you read? Tell me what it is. Tell me how I'm supposed to find it useful. More filler at the end, and then warm. Have we got any warm regarders in here? Come on, be honest. There's a few warm regarders. Warm regard. Just cheers or thanks. That's all you need to do. So here's a few ways to go from bad to good. So number one, forget, like I said before, forget about yourself. Use you more than you use I or we in these messages. Get specific on how you can improve people's lives. So don't just say, I hope you find it useful. Talk about the benefits. And don't expect people to do the hard work. Direct them to your YouTube channel. You know, direct them to PDF downloads. Tell them exactly what's in it for them. So that's the first thing. The second one, drop a few little compliments. We all like a little ego boost, don't we? So, loved your last post. That's how simple it is. Just let them know that you're not a robot. Or talk about some work that they've done. Is Netto still going? Yeah, I don't know. But under no circumstances, get too personal. Because it can backfire. That Max sent me that. I'm only joking. So they're the compliments. And then the third way, a little sneaky one, mention a mutual friend. Dead easy to do. I see your friends with such and such. Straight away, just get a little bit of trust in. You have actually got to be friends with them. You can't just blag it. Or I noticed you did a fun run with Pete. But again, overstep the mark and it can get a little bit weird. Yeah. Don't get too matey because it just backfires. So they're the three dead easy ways to do it. Now, I want to show you how that really bad DM can be made so much better using those little techniques. So this one, give them an ego, but I'm not going to read it out. I'm sure, can everyone read that from the back? No? Okay. Hi, Dave. Judging from your ace post about cold emails last week, you might not need any help with leadership stuff right now, but we've just stuck a new video onto our YouTube channel about how not to balls up your outreach during a recession. Thought it could tie in nicely with your cold email messaging and a link to the video. Dead helpful, just giving them a little ego boost. So number two is a mutual friend. Hi, Dave. Noticed Belinda Boomerang's comment on your brilliant post about cold emails last week. And would love to know more about what you do. We do leadership training videos with lots of advice about sharpening your message. Worth a chat. So just nice and nice and colloquial, conversational, and a lot less pitchy than the first one. And the third one, again, is just to ramp up that conversational side of things. So, oh, Dave, that last post of yours about the cold emails was, and I've just spent the last hour reading through your stuff. Notice you're doing a bit more stuff focused on leadership lately. We do training videos that might come in handy. Have a mooch at, and then again, just a nice little link. So that was it for the DM. And now I'm going to show you the worst cold email of all time. I'm hoping I hope I don't have to read this one out because it's a grim one. Hold on to your hat. It's a wild ride. I've changed this guy's name as well, as you'll be able to see. Does anyone need me to read it out? Yeah, okay. Here goes. Hi, who is it that I would need to speak to regarding your phone system over at the Word Man? I would like to put some information together regarding FT Communications, Fibre Telecoms. I wanted to try and make sure it lands on the right desk, but is also relevant to your needs. Weird. We design, supply, and maintain the very latest business phone and communication systems. A lot has changed in the last few years regarding communications technology. And I'm sure you're aware the telephone is not a standalone communication tool anymore and is now one of the many communications touch points that we work with. FT Comms help businesses upgrade, unify all their touch points, making the teams more accessible to those wanting to communicate with them from a system able to serve up all historical communications history, double history, from any inbound communication. Kind regards, Wolfgang. That's how it landed in my inbox. Where's your return, mate? Where's the paragraph? Just slaps that in my inbox. So once you've accepted that this guy just has a weird obsession with the word telecommunications, which is the massive elephant in the room, again, I'm just going to break down the badness line by line, starting with, and I hate to say it, the very first word. Hi, like he hasn't bought my name off a proper list, has he? He's just blagging it there. So that could be, straight away, I know tens of thousands of people are getting this. It's not personalized to me. So personalization, one quick win that can get you on the reader's side. Line two, he's missed a word out. So all of this communication stuff that he's buzzing off throughout the email, he's just completely shot it. So who is that I would need to speak to? Yeah, ruined it. Proofread your stuff before you send it out. Sentence three. I love this. So they're called FT Communications. So FT stands for Fibre Telecoms. So the company is actually called Fibre Telecoms Communications. It's like Phil Neville's dad, isn't it? Neville. So that's sentence three. And then, yeah, confusion. He wants to try and make sure it lands on the right desk, but it's also relevant to my needs. It's like trying to do two things at once. Doesn't work. Sentence four, this is just me nitpicking really, is the very latest newer than the latest. Just little words that you don't have to drop in. So, yeah. Sentence five, I love this. As I'm sure you're aware, normally when people say that, they're really patronizing in whatever follows. So, a telephone is not a standalone communication tool anymore. It's like he thinks I've been trapped in the cupboard since 1997 or something. Sentence six, FT Comms, not FT Communications anymore. FT Comms, trendier, isn't it? That's FT Communications on Dress Down Friday. But if you break that down, this now makes the company name. Double comms. Yeah, incredible. Love that. I've already pointed out double history. Takes me back to school. Thursday afternoons with Mr. Hall. Arable farming or something medieval anyway. I wasn't good at history. And that's it. Yeah, just horrendous. So they're the specifics. And I'm going to tell you some more kind of generic ways to go from bad to good. These are dead quick wins, so no surprises. It's long and waffly. So many different messages in there. It's all about FT communications, so much so he said it about 20 times. Really boring, dead formal, really robotic. And it won't surprise you to know that all the good things that you can do is basically the opposite. So be nice and concise and short. Stick to one message if you can. I know it's not always easy, but if you can, stick to one message. People, it will land a lot more, a lot stronger with people. Again, similar to the LinkedIn DM, make it more about the reader than the yourself. Certainly make it interesting. I'm going to show you a few ways to do that in a sec. And finally, speak like a real person. So this is how I'd put it into practice. Read that at the back, or do we need to read these out as well? Yeah, okay, sound. Hi Dave, paying through the nose for your age-old office phones. Don't know why I'm doing that voice. We can set you up with the kind of swanky system they have in fancy call centres, and for way less than what you're paying right now. Give me a call on to see how much you could save. Thanks. Mini line rental. Again, made up these names. But look at that, focusing on just one problem, the cost of what they're paying at the moment. That one I just read out before, there was like about 40 different messages. So focus on one problem, it'll land a lot easier. Number two, write the unexpected. Hiya Dave, are you in charge of phones at the Word, man? Because I really need to speak to your chief telephone officer or your director of dialing or your head of hellos or your call kingpin or your bring boss or your president of press aid to hear these options again or whatever you call them. Whether it's you or a colleague, you'll love what we've got for you. Thanks, Reggie Ringtone. So that's write the unexpected. People are reading the same old shite in their inbox day in, day out. If you can just write something, that stops them on their little daily trudge through their phone. And they go, oh, that's all you need to do. You've got them. Yeah, unexpected. Third one, create a fear of loss. Little copywriting technique. So, hi Dave, if a volcano sprouted up in the middle of your office right now, your desk phones would almost certainly be the first to melt into a plasticky sludge. But with our lava-proof virtual telephony service, your phone system lives in the cloud. So you'll avoid catastrophic turns of events like volcanoes, or even everyday turns of events like a dodgy cable at the telephone exchange. Let's chat before disaster strikes. So a little bit dramatic, but you get the picture. I need a hero, that's the person's name. And then, not that I haven't been already, but have a bit of fun is much better version four. So I thought, people like animals, don't they? Hi Dave, little birdie told me that the phone system you're using at the Wordman is being powered by a little hamster on a wheel. If your office phones haven't been upgraded for donkey's years, you're missing out on a load of modern features that'll get your team better connected and also stop your customers thinking you're dinosaurs. I won't rab it on. Let me know when's good for the call. Bally Doolittle. Can't talk to animals, though. So that's it. To recap, we've analysed a really terrible LinkedIn DM and the worst cold email of all time. You've learned the difference between the good and the bad, and you've seen some much more engaging alternatives to the shit ones, even though some of them were a little bit funny. And at the very least, if you improve your stuff, it'll stop this happening. Stuff flying up people's noses. So that's about it for me. If you want more wordy stuff, I do breakdowns of really bad emails and show you how to improve your stuff every other Friday in my email. Oh, is it going? No, it's gone. Go on, Max. There we go. Yeah. So my website is thewordman.co.uk. You can sign up to my emails, like I said, every other Friday. You can get my stuff. And that's about it. So any questions? Yeah, interesting one with subject lines. I've actually got a technique. It's called the shitbag technique because the letters of shitbag spell like say what's in the email, help people, inspired. It's like I've got it on. I can send it to you, or I'll post on LinkedIn in the next week or whatever. Just like seven dead quick and easy and dirty tips just to go right. How can I grab people's attention? All I'd say is back to what I said before. You just got to stop that scroll. People are reading the same old stuff in it. If you can use a set of words, say pick four words or whatever phrase, If you type that into Google and there's no search results for that phrase that you're typing, put speech marks around it, chances are that, well, they've never seen that particular set of words before. So whatever everyone else has sent, like Black Friday, for instance, every year I do like a breakdown, like a teardown of all the Black Friday emails. Every other one is Black Friday offers, Black Friday deals, Black Friday this. And then, is it Stroke, is it? Or Spoke, I think, they do trousers. Yes, their subject line was Black Friday. And it was just like, oh, it's like jumped out the inbox. Everything else was just bland. And they used a phrase that nobody else was using. So I was like, yeah, that got me. So, yeah. Yeah, you've just always got to think it's just you're just fighting for their attention. People get like 10,000. People see subliminally 10,000 different marketing messages a day as they're going about their life on the phone, side of buses, wherever. So you've really got to kind of fight for their attention. Otherwise, they'll just go see you later and just ignore you. I find the more personality you can use in B2B, the better they work. Because everyone's in work mode, aren't they? They're just fully expecting to say, okay, solution providers, IT this, you know, and see the same old stuff. So if you can just completely reframe something, and again, back to what I was saying there, write something that they're not expecting. You don't have to just litter it with a load of like cheesy puns or anything. It could just be something as simple as that, like a little bit of alliteration, like swanky systems, or just a little something they're not expecting in a subject line. Even sounds mad, but just dropping an emoji to a solicitor might make them go, whoa, because they're reading like white papers and boring stuff all day. So just something that can change it up. That said, there's always like there's a balancing act between how credible you want to kind of come across and how impactful you want to be. If your credible stuff isn't working, that's when you've really got to test the kind of more, you know, the not cheekier, but the stuff with a little bit more personality and just see if it works. If that stuff doesn't work, yeah, maybe try something else. I'd say the one thing that everyone falls into, because we're all taught how to kind of write professionally in school. So whenever we sit down at a keyboard, naturally, our brain kind of switches into this, oh, I've got to use requirements instead of needs, or I've got to use kind regards instead of cheers. So I think if you can just, one technique I've advised when, like, again, it was a firm of lawyers. They were all writing really officious stuff. Like, no one's opening our stuff, no one's reading it. And I'm like, just speak a little bit more conversationally like you would to one of your colleagues in the office. I said, get your phone out and just record yourself having a chat with one of the people in your office. Every single word that they use is like five letters or less. They're not using requirements or, you know, facilitate or obtain. They're saying get. They're not saying, they're not using those kind of big words. So just kind of simple, really simple word choices can just make things feel a lot more, not so much conversational, but just easier for them to read. Like that, it's almost like a go-to. Oh yeah, I've got to use these kind of longer words to seem more intelligent and more professional. You're just making things harder for people. People have to, even for a microsecond, if they have to translate in their head what a word means, it's just losing the impact of your message. So yeah, always the simpler the better, regardless of who the audience is. I think with LinkedIn, you can afford to be a little bit more personal. A DM feels a bit more like a closer conversation than an email. Even though email is still a one-on-one thing, there's that always that little doubt, you know, who else is receiving these emails? Have they sent this to 10,000 people and just tweaked my name at the start? Whereas when it's a DM, they can do exactly the same, but it almost feels like, oh, okay, you're having a chat and you can instantly reply to them. Whereas your email kind of feels that next step removed. So yeah, to answer the question, I wouldn't differ them too much. I'd probably just get a little bit more personal in the DMs.
So let's give Dave one more round of applause.